Hey, all you listeners, before we jump into the podcast, I'd like to take care of a couple legal issues and a little forbearance of what you're about to listen to. Some podcasts are somewhat explicit and touch on some harsh topics when it comes to the mental health field. Listener discretion is advised. Also, for the legal purposes and the protection of our show and guests, we'd like to also remind you that all these stories that are shared by everyone on air are alleged events that have occurred. Please keep that in mind. And again, we enjoy having you here. So welcome and enjoy the show. Okay. Yes, sir. Gone for about 2 years. I kind of put the podcast on hold. So like a year and a half, and a lot has changed, not just for me, but for the entire world. And I felt the need to get back on here, put up a podcast, put up a new episode. There's a lot of fear that is facing us right now. I'm along with you for the ride. I don't know what's going to happen. I pray that it's the best outcome that we can possibly achieve. God gives you the strength that you need to go on through this big disaster that we're experiencing right now, not just as a nation, but as a world, as people, as human beings. We don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. I posted on Facebook today that I feel the world needs hope. And after posting that, I was like, I want to do this podcast again, whether this be my last episode ever. I'm going to just throw it all out there, update you on what's been going on with me, kind of hopefully get this going again. But I don't know where we'll be tomorrow. I don't know where we'll be in a week. I'm just scared as you are. I have a health condition that puts me at a high rate of mortality if I get this. Oh yeah, let me, your boy became a certified AMFT. I am an associate marriage and family therapist now, working in the greater Santa Maria area. I was blessed to obtained the job of my dream. I was blessed to walk out a couple weeks ago from work, and I felt so good. And I was looking out at the parking garage, and right there's a bunch of plants and stuff like foliage. And the sun was setting, and I was thinking, man, I get to go to work. I get to do my dream job, helping people. And then this COVID-19, the coronavirus. But I didn't think anything of it because we've all heard of like pandemics like the swine flu, SARS, mad cow, Ebola, you know, and it never reached this height. It would only stay in certain parts of the country, and it was like no big thing. And now there's like 9 cases just where I live. That is some scary stuff right there. That is scaring the hell out of me. I know that you're scared probably too listening to this. That, or you're just somber and I don't know. I shouldn't be talking for you. This is just going to be a casual conversation, even though I'm like 5 minutes in already. Where to start? So far, this coronavirus has spread fear across the world, and everything is canceled for 2020. Everything. I think it was the fact that I was planning on actually getting married, finally. It was supposed to be October 17th. October is my favorite year. month. Not much has changed with me. I'm not going to really edit this either. I want to put it out there as just kind of like raw. Something you can listen to kind of like feel that you're not alone in this. I'm here in my shed, worried that I'm going to lose another person. Worried that I'm going to have to experience this pain again. And what I mean by that is, so I want to share that everybody that has listened, and, you know, I'm thankful for all that everybody has done. This podcast has reached several hundred thousand people to date. It's reached across the world, and the analytics for it just shock me every time I look at it to know the numbers and see how many people are actually listening to me, this crazy guy that's sitting in his shed and trying to bring hope, trying to bring the world together. That's too Michael Jackson-ish, so no, never mind. I want to bring the world together, but not like in, like, you know, the hold your hands across America thing. My dog passed away October 25th, 12:03 a.m. You guys all know Missy. She was my little dog, my little chihuahua. And you can go back and listen to different episodes where I talk about her and how much she changed my life. We got her back from Charlie's mom when Charlie's mom passed away 4 years ago. And I didn't want her to live with us because I didn't like her. She was mean, dude. Like, seriously. She was always trying to attack. And I never understood why. It was just like, we bonded. We became best friends. She knew everything about me. She was my therapist. She was my best friend. She was my little daughter. And I don't care what people say. When it comes to pets, like, yeah, it's just a dog, but not to me. That was a hard time. What happened was I had gotten home from my internship and took her out. I took her out to the front of the house this time, and she just was doing her thing. I don't know what I was doing, but I heard her yelp. And so I went and tried to see what was wrong with her, but she was just, you know, acting normal again. Then she doesn't walk upstairs. You guys know how I have to carry her upstairs and stuff because she's bougie. Yeah, you can go on my Instagram and see her water bowl with a lemon. That's how bougie my dog was. So I tried picking her up, and she yelped and tried to bite me, and so I didn't understand. I just thought maybe she was in a bad mood, so I kind of got mad at her, and I was like, Missy, stop. And so I tried to pick her up again, and she tried to bite me, and I was like, I didn't understand what was going on, and then finally it hit me. I thought she was hurt, and I was like, where are you hurt? I don't understand. So I was trying to figure out where she was hurt. I thought she hurt her leg or something, but I let her bite me, and I picked her up. She doesn't bite hard. And later on that, like an hour or two later, Shirelli had come home from work, and I didn't tell her nothing. And I told her, hey, Shirelli, can you pick up Missy really quick? I want to see something. And so Shirelli went to pick up Missy, and Missy did the same thing to Shirelli and tried to bite her. And so I told Shirelli that I think Missy is hurt and we need to take her to the vet tomorrow. I don't know what's going on. And so we agreed. And while we were talking about it, Missy was laying on the floor and she started yelping and trying to walk away. She had kept doing that. She would try to lay down and get comfortable somewhere and randomly in the house. And then she would yelp and get up and run. And so we took her to the emergency. I'm sorry, I don't really recall how this went down. I'm trying the best to get it to a certain level of my understanding that made no sense to me either. So if you're listening, it's a hard story to tell. And they had taken x-rays and let us know that it was her back and stuff, and that so we could give her pain medicine and kind of sedate her and watch her. And so we brought her home, and I was on the couch because I couldn't sleep. I was really worried about Missy, and she couldn't be on the bed with us to sleep, and so I kind of slept on the couch, and we had given her the pain medicines and stuff, and she was still in pain. She was walking around the house all night, and I kept trying to calm her without picking her up, so I would sit on the floor and, you know, try to get her to calm down, but I just couldn't. She was just finicky, like she wanted to pace around the house, and I had fallen asleep on the couch, and she kept coming by my hand and like running by it to kind of wake me up, I think. And I didn't wake up. I was just like, I prayed and I said, you know, God, please not now. Just let her be okay. And I have faith that what the doctor said was that she was going to be okay. And so that day she was just out of it. And, through the night we, tried to sedate her and try to get her comfortable. And she stayed with Shirelli in the bed and I stayed on the couch again. And I didn't sleep all night. I sat up praying and checking on Missy, and it wasn't getting better. Her pain wasn't getting better. So we took her back to her regular vet the next day. And I'm not trying to be dramatic. It's just I thought we were going to have to put her down right then and there when we took her. So I wrapped her up in her blanket. She has the Freddy Krueger blanket, which I gave to her. It wasn't mine, but like everything, she always took my stuff. And I wrapped her up in her blanket and I walked her around the house. And I was holding her. She was looking around. I took her to every room, and every room I shared a memory with her. So I showed her around. I took her out back and I told her, look, here's the backyard. And we went into the, we took her to the vet. And I remember my mom telling Missy goodbye. I didn't want it to be the truth. And so we went to the vet, and the vet told us, no, we're going to up her pain medicine, that we can do that and it'll sedate her. She's going to have to be like sedated for 2 to 3 weeks. She can't walk. Her back has spine compressions, and that she's in a lot of pain right now, but we can manage that. We can do it. And I was happy, and I was like, oh, my baby's gonna come home. So we started sedating her with the pills and stuff, and it wasn't pills, it was syringes. She wasn't eating, she wasn't drinking water, she wasn't doing good. And I told Shirelli, how are we supposed to keep her like this for 2 weeks? This isn't right. She doesn't look good. So later that, around, I think, 9 or 10, I want to say like 10, we were trying to feed her medicine with her food. It was baby food, and we were syringing it. And she started choking. And she wouldn't stop. And it was, I could tell she was having a hard time breathing. So I told Shirley, I told her, we have to go to the ER, like, haul ass, please. Just go. I said, red light, I don't care if there's no cops, if there's no one on the road, just run them, please. And I said, we got to get her to the ER. So she drove as fast as she could drive, and we were on the freeway. My puppy was on my lap, and I was holding her, and I was trying to comfort her. And she looked up at me and started crying. She was crying in so much pain. I could see it. And I didn't tell Shirley at the time, but Missy was in so much pain. She was crying so much. She passed out in my lap. She was in so much pain that she passed out in my lap on the way to the ER. And so I didn't want to tell Shirelli. And when we pulled up, Missy was asleep. Just straight out knocked out. And so I kind of played it off like, oh, should we take her or not? And I knew where I was going to get down. And so Shirley's like, oh, I don't know. And I said, I'm just going to get down and see what they say. And they took her right away. And we waited in one of the rooms. I'm sorry. I know this is supposed to be spreading hope like fire. But this is just my pain. And no. A friend of mine that I've known for, like, years through pro wrestling back when I was in high school. The reason I'm telling Missy's story is because she's going through it right now, too, with her dog, Ethel. And they're putting her down. I just think it's good for someone to hear another person's story. We waited. And then the vet came in. Told us that, explained to us that she doesn't look good. Missy doesn't look good. We have her on air, and she just looks like she's tired and wants to go home. And my biggest fear, I always told Shirelli, was that when Missy passed, we'd have to figure out a way for the vet to come to the house to put her down if it came to that. Because Missy always freaked out at, like, when we took her to the vet. She would freak out. And I always promised her I would protect her from anything. And I didn't believe the vet. So I told Shirley, I'll be back. I have to make a phone call. And I said, I want to see her. And I poked my head through the little window. And I seen her on the little ventilator. I called my aunt. And my mom. Because I didn't know what to do. I had to take her pain away from her because that was the promise. The promise I made to her. I had walked back in the room and Shirley was telling me, we're going to hospitalize her. And I was like, what? I didn't understand. So the vet said, there's a slim chance that we can save her, but it won't be the same. She's really old and it's risky. We'd have to stick a needle down her back, and the needle was really long. And Shirley was just, we're going to do it. And I said, no, we can't. And it wasn't about the money. It wasn't about the money at all.
I know me and Charlie would give all of our everything for Missy. But I had to talk Charlie into letting Missy go. That was hard. That was so hard. I couldn't sign the papers. Shirley had to sign the papers for them to give her the injection to euthanize her. And now I think of Michael Scott trying to euthanize the office with young people. God, I love that man. They brought her in. They brought her in and she had her little, she was in her blanket. And they had a little wrap around her arm with an IV in it. It gave us some time to be with her. And she was just, she was really at peace. And I had to tell the doctor when to come back in. And I wouldn't tell them. So they finally came in and they said, "Are you ready?" I said, "No." How are you ever ready for a loss like that? How are you ever ready? And so I said, "Yeah, we'll be ready in a couple minutes." So I held her one last time, kissed her one last time, and I let Shirelli hold her because I know Missy would want her mom to hold her. And when I would rub Missy or hold her, I'd always put my hand over her chest so I could feel her heart. I put my hand over her chest so I could feel her heart. And I felt it stop beating. I just remember, I don't remember anything really after that. Shirelli says that she felt her mom come and get Missy. I was so, so mad at Shirelli's mom. So pissed off. Because the night, like a night or two before, I had a dream that her mom had come to our house and knocked on the door. And I was like, what the hell? I didn't understand because she had passed away. And so I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You don't call? Is this a pop-in? And no, I didn't say that. I was just like, what are you doing here? That's some frequent flyer miles right there, Rosie. She had told me, I need to get Missy. I came to get her, and I was like, I didn't understand. And I was like, what do you mean you came to get her? She lives here. She had told me, like, I'm here to get her. I'm here to get my dog. And in the dream, I was like, fuck that, dude. Like, no way, buddy. You gotta go. You have to go. And I slammed the door on her. And then I woke up. And so I guess when Shirelli says she felt her mom come to get Missy, to take her to heaven, I believed her because her mom came to the door a couple days before that to tell me, you know. But it's hard. It's so hard. It's like my daughter has died on me. My daughter has died on me, dude. I'm sorry, I'm talking really weird now, sorry. I'm just being genuine because this is my last podcast on this earth. This is basically my legacy. And I stopped living. I gave up, and I'm still kind of there. I stopped caring. I stopped talking to everyone. I isolated myself. I get this all the time. Well, aren't you a therapist? Don't you know better? And it's like, yeah, but you can't really do that stuff for yourself. You can do that stuff for other people and help your clients and stuff. But just, we can't do it for ourselves. It's just weird. It's like a thing with us, a therapist, I think. And so I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I was just devastated. And I told God that, you know, if you take me now, I won't be mad because I'll get to be with my dog. 2 weeks later, me and Shirley went to PetSmart. And then we went to the dog shelter and got a dog. This little puppy of mine, Mia. They originally gave her a different name, but we don't think it was her name. And she was used for breeding. She's a Jack Russell Terrier. And I prayed and I told God, whenever it's time for me to get another puppo, you let me know. And I looked into Mia's eyes and she looked into mine, and it was love at first sight. It was like love connection. And long story short, she hates my guts. She hates me. And there's nothing I can do about that besides give her time and just consistently love the hell out of this dog. But she's the sweetest dog. Like, everybody in my family loves her. They all loved Missy, but it was a different bond that everybody had. Everybody knew that Missy had to stay in the room because she would attack and eat your ankles. And just a different story with this one. She's very kind and caring and loving to Shirelli, and not so much me. But that's just, that's what happened. And as long as I give Mia the best life that she can have, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. But I swear, we announced that we're getting married and the whole world comes to an end. What? I know that's a nice segue right there that I did, but honestly, what's going on? I don't know if I'm going to make it out of this. I am honestly and legitimately scared. And if you are too, just do what you're told, I guess, to stay at home. Stay at home. Don't go to work. It's just a bad time. I don't see this getting any better anytime soon. That's just my take. I don't know much about what's the virus and everything, and it's just insane. People are talking about Great Depression times, and me, honestly, I believe in God. He showed me his power the night that he took Missy. He answered my prayers about my anxiety and depression, even though they're pretty bad right now. It's real, though. I'm worried about a real legitimate issue that's going on, and so that's valid. But I would worry about the dumbest things, and now I look back and I see how much of a waste of time that was. You listeners have made my life so much different. You went out and you bought thousands of books, that the Spread Hope Like Fire book that I wrote in July, and made it a bestseller for a few days. I mean, still, it's better than nothing. And I didn't even think anybody was going to buy it. I made Shirelli buy it, of course, you know. But back to this pandemic, I truly and honestly believe that it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. And I honestly and truly believe that God is watching over all of us and seeing this devastation that we're going through. And for me, I'm not religious. You guys know that. I'm spiritual. I have that relationship. And from what I understand, from all of the Bible and everything, is that to me, I think there's going to be a power grab with the whole world and such panic. And that's going to bring us closer to God coming back, sending his son to free us of all this madness that has been created by Satan, and not telling you what's right and wrong, because like I said, I don't know what's right and wrong. I think there's many ways to God. Whatever way you pick is your way. I hope that we all make it through this. It's just chaos. I don't even have toilet paper. So if you guys want to donate some toilet paper to me, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. And our wedding got pushed back, so we'll be accepting wedding gifts later on in the year. I just keep praying and I keep hoping that things get better for all of us. I had so much more to say, but I don't know what else to really say, but stay strong. Put your faith in God or your higher power or whatever it is. Put your faith and know that we're going to get through this as a people, not as a nation, but as a people of the world. It's just crazy. I want this to be my legacy. I've always wanted to leave my mark on the world. And I feel that the podcast was a big step in doing that with how many people it reached. And I feel like just giving you guys this one last podcast, even if it's my last podcast, I hope not. I hope that I come back for more. I have guests that really want to come back on. Tim, SM Running Man, wants to come back on, my buddy. He's still doing great. He's still doing his running. I pray for him. I pray for everybody that God could give us the strength that we need. Sorry, I'm really nasally now. I shouldn't have told that story, but I guess I had to as a way of therapy, because my therapist isn't seeing me either. I hope that I have brought you some sort of hope and some sort of outlet. So yeah, until next time, I hope that we can spread hope like fire. So for Tony the Beat, I'm Tony the Beat. I'll catch you later.
Prepared for fame, then everybody knew my name. No more lonely nights, it's all for you. I have traveled many miles, I've seen tears and I've seen smiles. Just remember that it's all for you. Don't forget me.
Spread Hope Like Fire is a production of the Spread Hope Like Fire Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit. As always, I like to remind everybody, the things that we discuss upon the podcast are not a substitute or a replacement for seeking treatment and getting professional help. If in fact you are struggling with your mental health, we urge you to please reach out to your community and see which professionals are accepting new clients and get that professional help and talking to that professional that you need. This show is intended as a educational and informational psychoeducation of the field of psychology. For Spread Hope Like Fire and Anthony G, I'm Anthony G, and we will see you later.